Listening Task 2.
Listen and take notes to the lecture given by Anthony Giddens on misunderstanding multiculturalism.
Misunderstanding multiculturalism, Anthony Giddens. Much of the debate about multiculturalism in this country, however, is crass, ignorant, and misconceived. The new critics, from the left in particular, risk contributing to the very processes they decry, since they are so dismissive of the achievements that mark this country out from others, particularly in Europe. I can't think of any other EU state that has been more successful than the UK in managing cultural diversity. Things are far from perfect. The BNP has strongholds in a number of large cities. There have been racist killings, and there have been urban street battles. Compare, however, the situation here with countries such as Denmark, Belgium, France, or the Netherlands. In the first three, far-right populist parties got from 17% to 22% of the vote. The Netherlands has been traumatized by the murders of populist politician Pim Fortuyn and writer Theo van Gogh. France has seen prolonged and serious rioting in areas where unemployment among minority youths is as high as 50%. Multiculturalism simply does not mean what most of its critics think. The original home of multiculturalism is Canada. Canadian philosophers and policy makers have done most to define and elaborate the concept, since Canada is quintessentially an immigrant society. Therefore, multiculturalism does not mean, and has never meant, different cultural and ethnic groups being left alone to get on with whatever activities they choose. It actually means the opposite. Policymaking in Canada stresses active dialogue between cultural groups, active attempts at creating community cohesion, and the acceptance of overarching Canadian identity. As a leading Canadian writer, Will Kimlicker, puts it, multiculturalism in Canada encourages the members of different immigrant groups to interact, to share their cultural heritage, and to participate in common educational, economic, political, and legal institutions. In the UK, we need more multiculturalism, not less. That is to say, we should concentrate upon developing further links between different ethnic and cultural communities, and upon dialogue, even when on the surface it seems to create problems. Jack Straw's remarks about women who wear the veil have provoked huge controversy, but he was right to raise the issue because he was emphasising the importance of connection and communication. In a pluralistic society, all groups should accept the need for interrogation from others. It's the condition of producing mutual respect rather than undermining it. He was not suggesting any sort of coercion. The fact that the UK has produced some homegrown jihadist terrorists has been widely deployed as ammunition in the battle against multiculturalism, but it has virtually nothing to do with the overall state of culture and ethnic relations in the country. It only needs a tiny number of individuals to mount a terrorist attack, especially if they get assistance from abroad. It should not be surprising if they are well-educated and British in much of their lifestyle. The sentiments that produce radicalisation do not come from general feelings of alienation or exclusion. They're more likely to be driven by religiosity, combined with ideas about social justice and world politics. There are many different ethnic groups in Britain, and their fortunes vary. Those of Indian, Chinese, and Japanese origin are, on average, now outperforming the white population. They do better at school, and their average level of income is higher. Intermarriage with other ethnic groups is rising steeply. People from a Pakistani or Bangladeshi background, on average, do markedly less well. Are they, therefore, rejecting their adopted country? Pakistani groups in particular featured in the riots that happened in Oldham, Leeds and Bradford in the 1990s and early 2000s. At that time as well, multiculturalism came in for a bashing. It was widely blamed in the press for creating segregation between Pakistani and local white communities. These claims were made, however, by writers with scant knowledge of the neighbourhoods in question.
A sociologist at the University of Leeds, Ludi Simpson, later studied the communities concerned in depth, and, sometimes often neglected, over time. He found that segregation was far lower than most outside commentators had suggested. Many Pakistani families originally living in the inner city areas
had in fact moved out across the years to middle-class neighbourhoods or rural areas. Contrary to the idea that the Asian, mostly Muslim groups wanted to keep to themselves, the evidence showed a desire for more mixing, with most wanting independent lifestyles away from too much ethnic clustering. For much of the 20th century, the main perceived social problem was that of class conflict. Class differences continue to overlap with cultural and ethnic divisions. But for us today, the perceived social problem is that of the management of diversity, delivering its benefits, which are many, while containing the conflicts and costs that it can incur. We shan't get anywhere in pursuing such goals if we abandon multiculturalism. Now answer the questions based on the notes that you've taken. Number one. How does the speaker describe the UK's attitude toward multiculturalism? Number two. What are the main points made why Canada could serve as an example of real multiculturalism? Number three. What was Mr. Jack Straw's intention with the remark he made? Number four. What is the origin of radicalisation? Number five. What is special about Pakistani people living in the UK? Number six. What conclusion is drawn concerning the cause behind the conflict?